The Trumpet Daily Program begins right now.
Today's world news, what it means, where it's taking us.
I bring you the one and only possible message of world peace.
This is a message of hope, tremendous hope. And he said unto me, you must prophesy again.
And now, The Trumpet Daily with Stephen Flurry.
President Obama is taking part, I think within the next hour, in an event with Protect Our Care, talking about the Affordable Care Act. Has he visited the White House yet, or indeed, do you know how often he has spoken to President Biden, and are there any plans for him to take part in advocacy at administration events going forward?
Well, I will say, having a unique view of this question. They were not just president and vice president. They are friends, and they consult and talk about a range of issues.
Do you know how many times they've spoken since Inauguration Day?
I don't have an exact number for you. They keep in regular touch, and our teams are in regular touch about a range of issues.
That's the White House press spokesman, or the press secretary, talking about the contact that the Biden administration, the fake illegitimate presidency, the contact that they have with the Obama people. We'll get into that as we proceed, along with a lot of other things on today's program. You're listening to Stephen Flurry, and this is the Trumpet Daily. You can get the live stream at our website, thetrumpet.com/live, and you can also submit feedback to our email address, td@kpcg.fm. Let me just play you again the last bit from this exchange that happened yesterday in the press briefing room at the White House. Clip 13.
I don't have an exact number for you. They keep in regular touch, and our teams are in regular touch about a range of issues.
The teams. So Biden has a team, and then Obama. Obama has a team as well. When have you heard this? This is a former president of the United States. How odd it would have been had President Trump at any point in his presidency said, yeah, our team is in regular contact with the George W. Bush team. The Bush team and the Trump team were working together. This is what she's saying. Obama, remember, never left Washington, D.C. He just moved down the road as soon as Trump got in there in 2016. And now the Biden team working together with the Obama team. What was it Obama said just a couple of weeks after the election steal? I think this was from CBS. This is clip 10.
People would ask me, knowing what you know now, do you wish like you had a third term? And I used to say, you know what, if I could make an arrangement where I had a stand-in, a front man or front woman, and they had an earpiece in, and I was just in my basement in my sweats looking through the stuff, and then I could sort of deliver the lines, but somebody else was doing all the talking and ceremony, I'd be fine with that because I found the work fascinating.
You can't make this stuff up. There's Barack Obama, as I've said before, saying the silent part out loud. If I could make an arrangement where I sort of had a puppet out front and I was doing all the work, I love the work. He loves fundamentally transforming the United States of America. And he continues. He's on that mission. His team, you just heard it from the press secretary. His team is in contact with the Biden team. Now, you see some of the more recent developments, too. The fact that Vice President Harris, the fake vice president, she's with Joe Biden more and more frequently. And here again, it's unusual. In fact, there was even a flight that they went on Air Force One. And even that goes against what has typically been the case to keep when there's travel or anything that could happen if there's an accident or whatever. you generally keep the vice president away from the president. But more and more, just for security reasons, but more and more you're seeing them together. This, by the way, came out from Outspoken.com just yesterday. It says, to downplay Biden, White House directs all agencies to refer to the Biden-Harris administration in official communications. It says here, a leaked email from an employee of a federal government agency reveals the White House is shifting toward a communication strategy that seeks to elevate Vice President Kamala Harris in all official White House business. So you see the fake president in decline, as I covered yesterday. And then you see them now simultaneously elevating Kamala Harris. And of course, she was Barack Obama's pick from the beginning. But the rest of America didn't like her. And so she fell out of the race way back at the beginning. I don't think she even made it to Iowa. But that was the one that Barack Obama handpicked to be the vice president. This is from a Lee Smith piece. We went through this back in November, but I just want to bring it to your attention again, so that we understand who the real power player is here. Who's the one? And Obama, by the way, has got a team. Nobody voted for that team. And certainly 81 million didn't vote for the Biden team either. It was much, much less than that. But not one person voted for Barack Obama. And yet here he is getting his third term, if you can believe it. Lee Smith says here, he's commenting initially about the memoir, the second or third memoir that Barack Obama produced just ahead of the election last year. And here he is in the news and he's making the rounds. You remember, he's conducting all of these interviews. And Lee Smith says, Obama wants it understood that Biden is an avatar for a third Obama term. He wants you to understand this, that this is his term. It's not Joe Biden's. He's a fake president. This is Obama. It's all about Obama. It says in this article, now he can complete the work of fundamentally transforming America, as he put it days before the 2008 election. Hillary Clinton was expected to at least protect what she inherited from Obama, but the victory of Trump, who had campaigned on undoing Obama's domestic and foreign policy initiatives, left the outgoing president with only two options: watch his successor dismantle his legacy or stop him. And so he's been working from the beginning, from 2016 to today, to stop President Trump. It says here, the coup is evidence of his choice. The senior U.S. officials, Democratic Party operatives, and media personalities who targeted the Trump circle for 4 years weren't simply defending the privileges of the deep state. These are bureaucrats, deputies, and courtiers who wouldn't dare an attempt that bold unless it was okayed from above. See, Obama has to sign off on it. Obama has to give his nod of approval. He's the one controlling the radical left. And you can see why the entire party, the Democratic Party, is swinging so far to the left. This is all about fundamental transformation. This is what he vowed to do from the very beginning, back in 2008. And so you think, Biden's supposed to be moderate, but look at all of these, like I said yesterday, all of these extreme radical leftist policies and actions that are in place now, whether it's with the border. There was a New York Times story just yesterday about a $3 trillion bill that's being proposed from the Biden administration to go toward climate change. $3 trillion. Fundamental transformation. It says here, the purpose of the coup was to block Trump from destroying Obama's legacy until he could find an opening for him to return. In a sense, Obama never left. In a sense, Obama never left. What was it Jen Psaki said yesterday? Clip 13.
I don't have an exact number for you. You know, they keep in regular touch, and our teams are in regular touch about a range of issues.
A range of issues. Our teams, plural. We've got a team, and Obama's got a team, and we're in touch with them. We keep in contact. She talked about how that Obama can call him on the phone. He doesn't necessarily have to come into the White House. That reporter was saying, well, you know, has he been to the White House yet? How much contact is there? Well, judging by that last statement, they keep in regular touch. They're in regular contact. Each team, the Obama team, now he finished up his presidency there at the start of 2017, but he's still there in Washington, D.C. He was the first former president to set up shop in D.C. in more than 100 years. He never did leave. That's what Lee Smith says in that article. He was always there. He was operating the shadow government throughout the Trump years. He was the one pushing the buttons. Jim Comey, John Brennan, James Clapper, they were all looking to him. Spying on the Trump campaign, spying on the Trump presidency, lying to the FISA courts. And then the fraudulent Mueller investigation meant to take down Trump and to cover up all of the lawlessness of the Obama people. It says here in this Lee Smith piece, in political circles, it was no secret that Obama had thrown his support behind Kamala Harris. She's ambitious and appealing and, without any strong ideas or opinions of her own, poses no threat to him. See, he has control. He has control. Biden looks to him. Kamala looks to him. And anyone that poses a threat, and really, this even brings into it brings into play the Andrew Cuomo story. They've thrown him under the bus. Now, you could say, well, it's because of the nursing home scandal. Let's take him down with the Me Too movement, and maybe the emphasis won't be on the nursing home scandal. The other angle to this story is that he does pose somewhat of a threat to Obama and his agenda. People, as you know, they were talking about Cuomo for president last year. They were talking about him as the lone adult in the room, politically speaking. Well, now he's out of the way, or at least his star has certainly lost its shine. It says here, his one-time vice president, speaking of Kamala, she was Obama's ideal heir, but primary voters found her fake and unlikable. Well, what do you know? And she was out of the race in early December. He'd find a way to restore her, but in the meantime, needed a horse to ride through the primaries. See, he needed Biden. He wanted to use Biden to carry out his agenda. It says here, his one-time vice president rambled incoherently, dropped lines, and finished fourth in the Iowa race. Nonetheless, in the first week of March, Obama's establishment pushed out Klobuchar, Buttigieg, and Warren to consolidate support behind Biden. In the age of coronavirus, a politician who was obviously disoriented reflected the state of the country. He was perfect. He was perfect. He perfectly would fit into that role of the basement candidate. It says here, a voluntary shut-in was the perfect role model for Americans forced to stay home, and Obama made sure they did. See, he's behind the using the coronavirus as a pretext to attack his enemy. Enemy number one, Donald Trump. Destroy the economy. Do whatever you can. Do whatever you can to win back power. It's like my father has said before. They have shown during these Jeroboam years what they're willing to do, what they're willing to destroy, just to return to power, just to amass power. It says here, in April, Obama told Democratic mayors on a conference call not to reopen their cities until coronavirus testing and monitoring were available nationwide. Shutting down the economic activity of major U.S. cities would put limits on any economic rebound and thereby hamper Trump's reelection chances. COVID-19 also became the platform for the massive vote-by-mail campaign, which Obama promoted the same month in a succession of tweets that also alerted Democratic voters that his was the hand driving the Biden campaign. I mean, Smith is just piecing it all together, but it's so obvious. It's so obvious. And then you get to November of last year, and Obama himself says it. He says the silent part out loud. Oh, yes, I'd love to just sit down in the basement in my pajamas and pull the puppet strings. I actually like the work of fundamentally transforming the United States. You know about Biden saying the silent part out loud, too, with respect to voter fraud. Extensive, widespread. Oh, we've got quite the system set up to steal this. It says, throughout the spring and summer, records were declassified that gave evidence of Obama's direct role in the anti-Trump operation. They showed that in January 2017, he'd asked James Comey to continue the FBI's phony investigation of General Flynn. They documented that John Brennan had told him in July of 2016 that Clinton had green-lighted an operation to vilify Trump as a Russian agent. Months later, Obama directed Brennan to produce an intelligence community assessment replicating Clinton's smear campaign that delegitimized not only Trump's presidency, but also an election. See, it's always been about delegitimizing Trump, attacking Donald Trump, and fundamentally transforming the United States. Listen to this from Congresswoman Lee. I mean, they continue. They continue to go after Donald Trump, even though he's out of office. He's not in the White House. Listen to her yesterday. This is a congresswoman from Oakland, and she's blaming Donald Trump for that shooting in Atlanta last week. Clip three.
Former President Trump used very incendiary language to talk about COVID-19. What role do you think that incendiary language played in what we're seeing today in terms of violence and crimes against Asian Americans?
It played a very terribly important role in this. When you say use language like Kung Flu, China virus, when you speak hate, we have to remember hate speech leads to hate violence. And we're now seeing this unfortunate backlash and unfortunate embracing of Donald Trump's overall agenda. Remember, his agenda was based on white supremacy, and the roots of all of this are white supremacy.
His agenda was based on white supremacy. That comes from Obama. That comes from his critical race theory. He was the one fueling that all through the years of Obama. And that's why policemen were coming under fire. Okay, there's another shooting in Boulder yesterday. 10 people are killed. And they're going to use all of this, by the way, as a pretext to initiate gun control. But so what about Boulder? The shooting there, one of the victims was a police officer. So is that because of angry rhetoric? Anti-police rhetoric? Defund the police rhetoric? I guess that's how you play the game. He's to blame because he called it the China flu, which the media said as well. I played that montage for you last week. Before it became a Democrat talking point, it was China flu, China. It came from China. How many other diseases are named after the place they originate in? It happens all the time. But in 2020, because the president of the United States said, look, this started in China, which it did. That's racist. That's white supremacy. And so even when the FBI director comes out, as he did last Friday, and said, look, this Atlanta shooting, it's not connected to race from what we've seen thus far. This was a man with a sex addiction. I mean, let's get into that subject. Why don't we talk about sex addiction and the destruction that that's causing in the family, in marriages? The FBI director comes out and says it wasn't connected to race. But here I could play several clips just from yesterday where you've got all of these people on CNN, MSNBC saying that, look, as far as I'm concerned, from what I can see, it's racist and it's Donald Trump. He's the one that's behind it all. Here's the conclusion to Lee Smith's piece. It says, Russiagate gave rise to the special counsel investigation, which transformed into impeachment, which was replaced by the Democrats' weaponization of the coronavirus and the subsequent raising and looting of U.S. cities. You see, it was all part of the plan. America is under attack, as we wrote as far back as 2013. Even the raising of cities, burning down U.S. cities, that was part of the plan. And they were prepared to do it again, as Time magazine acknowledged. If Biden didn't get in there, if they couldn't successfully steal it, they had their soldiers ready. They had Antifa ready to burn down more cities. It says here, whether or not Obama is now able to consolidate his legacy, the fact is that he's already carved out his singular place in U.S. history. Listen to this. He's the first president who interfered in the peaceful transfer of power for 4 years. For 4 years. And it's on his behalf that a rolling coup has pushed a nation to the edge of the abyss in order to remake it in his image. How about that for a conclusion? He wants to remake the United States of America into his image, in the image of Antiochus, fundamentally transform the United States of America. And so look at the last 2 months. Look at these extreme, radical, leftist policies, Marxist policies, actions. We're witnessing a revolution. That's what's happening. 100,000 wasn't enough streaming across the border. Now it's 200,000. 1 million illegals coming into the United States by this summer. 2 million by the end of the year. How do you sustain this? How does the United States not just how does the U.S. not die as a nation as a result of these nation-destroying policies? People just streaming into the United States. President Trump was on Fox News yesterday. Listen to Harris Faulkner ask him, you know, why is he speaking out on this? And he rightly points out, you called me, but then he goes in and explains why he's speaking out the way that he is. Clip four.
Before I let you go, just real quickly, most presidents, ex-presidents like yourself, do not weigh in at this level. Why did you feel like you needed to on this issue?
Well, you called me. I didn't call you, in all fairness. But the reason I weigh in is very simple.
You wrote the statement last night. It was pretty strong.
Well, I wrote a statement. I put out a statement. But the reason I weigh in is very simple. They're destroying our country. Mm-hmm. Very simple. It can't get simpler than that.
They're destroying our country. And he's completely right. They are destroying the country. What's happening at the southern border, that's an attack. That's not a bumbling administration. Those are policies. That's triggered by executive action. As I said to you yesterday, these are people streaming in that are carrying Biden flags. These are people that are admitting to reporters that we're coming because of Biden's invitation. Would you have come in if Trump were still in there? Well, probably not. Probably not. He had the border secure. He handed it over to the fake presidency, and look at what they've done. These detention facilities, by the way, you may have seen pictures of them yesterday. It's like they're in saran wrap, some of them, putting them into these facilities, and all of the screaming back at the start of the Trump presidency, the so-called cages, the cages that Biden and Obama built, by the way, and used as well. And so now you look at these facilities, you look at these people in plastic bags, basically, living in these little compartments. And of course, no regard, I suppose, the plastic's up to make it seem like they're COVID compliant. But then pictures emerging with all kinds of people huddled together. And then, as I've said, a lot of them released out into the United States of America, even if they've got coronavirus. Can you believe it? And so we're supposed to really be shocked by people going to the beach in Miami? But not this. Not this. Certainly not by Black Lives Matter taking to the streets in June of last year. Play this clip. Is that clip 11? This is, and forgive the music. It's 10 seconds if you can manage. It's a Black Lives Matter protest gathering party, whatever it was, from last June. Clip 11. That was right at the peak. That was right at the peak of the coronavirus scare. Early summer last year, right in the midst of a nationwide, for the most part, a nationwide lockdown. You see how selective their outrage is? These COVID-19 scaremongers. They're streaming across the border. They're not being tested. Some of them are just being caught and released. A lot of them aren't even being caught. And the few that are going into the detention centers, they're quite happy to do that for a few days, so long as they get the government of the United States to pay for their hotel and food. The Biden administration announced that just the other day. I'll get to that in just a second. But look, here, the same day these pictures come out, there's a reporter who asked the vice president, the fake vice president, Kamala Harris, hey, and they've asked Joe Biden this. You gonna go to the border? Not right now. Maybe down the road. And here they are asking Kamala Harris, are you gonna go to the border? There's a tragedy, a national disaster going on down there. And here's how she responded to that yesterday, clip 8.
Do you plan to visit the border?
Not today. But I have before and I'm sure I will again.
Can you imagine if the day that the cages, Democrats went down to the border, like AOC, and they were sobbing. They were staging photographs to show you how bad it was during the Trump years. Now they're nowhere to be seen. On the day that Project Veritas comes out with these pictures, can you imagine if this happens during the Trump campaign, or rather the Trump presidency, and a reporter asked the vice president at that time, Vice President Pence, I can't keep track of all these different politicians, but how would they have reacted? If he says no plans, has a good chuckle, a good laugh, and then moves on, then you see these stories, as I say, more than just the one I played for you yesterday. These migrants coming in, admitting, there's no way they would have done this were it not for the fact that Biden is now in the White House and that Biden has essentially said, yeah, come on in. That, keep in mind, is coming from Obama. He knows it'll destroy the country. He knows it will destroy chances for a Republican to ever be voted in again. Listen to this from MSNBC. This is from the propaganda media, as I said to you yesterday. Even they are somewhat shocked. They're not nearly as outraged as they would be if Donald Trump was in the White House. But here they are complaining about the fact that they can't get access to some of these sites. But here's one of them admitting that, well, yeah, there's people coming across the border that fully admit that it's Biden's border policy that convinced me to come. This is clip 6.
We have spoken with several migrants over the last several days, Andrea, both on this side of the border and over in Mexico, in Matamoros, Mexico, that said that they were encouraged by the change in administration. Many of them didn't know the specifics of President Biden's border policies, but what they did know is that he was not President Trump, and some of them did feel that now would be the time to come to the border.
He's not Donald Trump, so now is the time. They don't know anything about Biden's border policy, but they just know it's a Democrat. So let's run for the United States of America. And these towns, these poor towns in the south of Texas and elsewhere, there's one mayor of a small Texas town. I forget the name of the town, but he's a Democrat mayor. All right. He's an open homosexual. He was voted in 2018. He's a leftist. And he's denouncing Biden's border policies. This is from the New York Post. It says the Democratic mayor of a southern border town says he's incensed over the Biden administration's handling of the immigration crisis in his backyard. And he's pleading with Washington to do more to stem the stream of migrants just pouring into his city. They're just pouring into this city, this southern Texas town. It says you have a breach on national security levels that have never before been seen in modern history. And you're not even batting an eye about it. This is a Democrat. We've never seen anything like this in history. They're overrunning our town. Please do something. And they barely bat an eye. Are you going to go to the border? Well, not today. Ha, ha, ha. Not today. They're not even batting an eye. They won't, as he says, they won't even call it a crisis. Jen Psaki made the mistake of using the word crisis last week. Then she immediately rolled that back. And then yet she's there again yesterday, ensuring the press pool. This is not a crisis. Those pictures coming from Project Veritas, not a crisis, not cages, not saran wrap, nothing. This is perfect, I suppose. It's perfect. It's a perfect border policy. Maybe there's a few too many people. So let's just say, hey, wait, come on just a little bit later. We'll be ready for you. They've thrown the door wide open. Here's this Democrat mayor of a small Texas town. Here's what he had to say. I believe this was on Fox News yesterday, clip 7.
And it is a Biden border crisis, in my opinion, because there's no kind of action. And seeing what we're seeing now with what was happening in the Rio Grande Valley with people wrapped around in blankets made out of silver, I mean, it's just kind of absurd what's happening.
Why do you say the way the administration has handled this, you personally feel it's a slap in the face?
Well, because when you're pleading with the president to stop the release of migrants into your community while we're dealing with a weather phenomenon that hasn't happened in 20 to 30 years, and we only get 3 or 4 days of that time, you know, per the Border Patrol sector, which, by the way, we have a great relationship down on the ground with our chief and non-government organizations. It's just really like, you know, whose side are you on? The American people were without water, electricity for days on end in Del Rio, Texas, and you're going to release migrants, you know, those individuals that are seeking a better life and opportunity into this weather phenomena. I don't even understand how that could even happen.
How could that even happen? What about the American people? Here they've withstood these natural disasters down in the south of Texas, and now the Biden administration comes on and opens the border wide open. He just unleashes all of these migrants on this small Texas town. How does it even happen? This small town mayor says. He's a Democrat. You might have seen the story yesterday about the Biden administration offering the free hotel rooms and food to migrants and their families for 6 months. So why wouldn't you want to come? I think there's quite a few in Central and South America that say, hey, if I have to stay in a detention center for a few days and then end up getting a free hotel room and maybe a stimulus check and free food and free health care, let's go to the United States of America. Where does it end? How does it stop? This is a reporter yesterday, I believe she's from Newsmax, confronting or asking Jen Psaki about this policy, and I'm not even going to play Psaki's response because she really didn't have a response. But listen to this question from a reporter, clip 12.
One of the options that's being reported over the weekend is spending $86 million on hotel rooms for some migrants and feeding them. How do you square that with the National Guard troops who were sleeping in parking garages and, you know, some of them got sick from having contaminated food? That's a disparity a lot of people are pointing out, that our National Guard was treated one way, and then illegal immigrants are going to be put in hotel rooms.
Well, Yeah, just a couple months ago, Biden told the National Guard, hey, go stay in a parking garage. And yet here are these illegals streaming into the country. 1,200 families put up in hotels for months. An $86 million plan to take care of these illegals. Is this to help build up the country? Is this to promote a more unified? They keep talking unity. Does this help promote unity in the country? What about the people, says this Democrat mayor? What about Americans? First we go through this deep freeze, we lose our power, we had people dying in the state. And now a flood of illegals. And it's all brought on by the puppet master. Unlimited, unrestrained immigration, tens of thousands a day, hundreds of thousands a month, millions a year. My father in the January 2021 Trumpet magazine, he says, America has changed like you have never seen it change in just months or even weeks into a different country. See, this is Barack Obama. He had the shadow presidency for 4 years while Donald Trump was in office. But now he's back, and he's back with a vengeance to finish off the fundamental transformation. It's not the country it was a couple years ago, or even at the start of 2020. Just go back 1 year, as my father says. The left doesn't want opposition. They want tyranny. That's because they're following Satan the devil, who has a stranglehold on them. It says the media, the high-tech industry, the educators, Hollywood, all these people have tremendous wealth, and they're all together. And if they can win it with money and cheating or any other way, they will do it. What an affliction on our nation. What you're witnessing is what they're willing to do, what they're willing to destroy in their quest to return to power, to tighten their stranglehold on power, on government. That's what we're witnessing. And as he says there, if they can win it with money or cheating, they'll do it. They will do it. Listen again to what President Trump said on Fox News yesterday, clip 5.
I mean, look, we won the election as far as I'm concerned. We had a great election. We got almost 75 million votes, but we were going to make it even more stringent with the understanding that we want people to come into our country, but they have to come in legally. Very simple.
Comments there on the illegal immigration. But before that, we had a great election, he says. And as far as I'm concerned, we won it. And he's right. He's right. This is from Just the News. It says two separate sworn affidavits from election night poll workers claimed that at roughly 10:30 p.m. on November 3rd, an official directed workers to stop working and to return the next day at 8:30 a.m. This is in Fulton County, Georgia, the county around Atlanta, its biggest city. This is where they had footage of the counting that went on after the workers were told to go home, and the media and the Republican observers, everyone except for those four or five people. And they started wheeling out the ballots right and left, and they started running the ballots through the machines multiple times even. And now, because of the Freedom of Information Act, Just the News, they're getting some emails showing that this election official, in fact, did tell people to leave, to go home. Listen to this. It says nearly a half dozen local and national media outlets, meanwhile, reported being told that absentee ballot counting had ceased at around 10:30 p.m., and would resume the next day. Several reports cited county spokeswoman Regina Walker for that information. Now listen to this. It says, counting at the State Farm Arena, however, continued past 10:30 after most staffers had left. In December, Waller, her name's Waller, sorry, Regina Waller, listen to this. In December, Waller told Just the News that contrary to the numerous media reports, she had stated to all media that although several workers were released to go home, a small team remained behind to assist with scanning ballots. So when they said everybody went home, obviously, then the counting continued and was reported through the night. So in December, they had to come out and say, well, actually, we told most to go home, but not all of them. There were some that, and the media should know this. And the point of this piece at Just the News is that the emails confirm what media and poll workers were told to do across the board. Look, counting's over, 10:30, let's close up shop. We'll see you guys at 8:30 in the morning. They lied, in other words. They lied in November. They lied about the water main break. They lied about ballots going through multiple times. And then they lied in December trying to cover their tracks. Anything, what did my father say? If they can win it with money and cheating, or any other way, they will do it. What an affliction. What an affliction this is. Joe Obama, the Joe Obama presidency, he never did leave Washington, D.C. And then yesterday we find out, direct from the press secretary, that, well, yeah, I mean, the two were working together. Here's what she said again at the end of that exchange, clip 13.
I don't have an exact number for you. They keep in regular touch and our teams are in regular touch about a range of issues.
Both teams, the Biden team and the Obama team, in regular touch about a number of issues, a variety of issues, a lot of issues. And we're just 2 months in. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is The Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to email the program, you can send comments to td@kpcg.fm. We'll be right back.
This is KPCG-FM, and this is The Trumpet Daily.
Do you believe the United States of America has been mainly a positive force in the world for most of its history? Do you believe that America was at one time a great nation? The United States of America was founded on many biblical principles that were incorporated into the Constitution. This lent to its success and positive influence in the world. But the America of then is not the America of today. To anyone examining the current state of America, this should be alarming. It has been a great nation in time past and is experiencing a temporary resurgence in these end times, but it will only be exactly that, temporary. Our free booklet, Great Again, will explain America's status. It will prove that God has been intimately involved in the rise and resurgence of America under President Donald Trump. It will also explain why God is saving America temporarily, how he was doing it, and what is yet to come in America. There is a spiritual dimension to America's rise and decline as a superpower. This free booklet will explain this dimension and how God will soon make America truly great again. Request your free copy of our book, Great Again, at our website, thetrumpet.com.
From the Philadelphia Church of God campus in Edstone, England, this is the Trumpet Daily Program with Stephen Fleury.
Fans of Krispy Kreme's classic glazed donuts will soon have a sweet incentive to get vaccinated. Starting Monday, Americans who have received a COVID-19 shot can claim a free donut every day for the rest of the year.
Now, I would have skipped right over that little clip. Except that when I heard that last bit, every day for the rest of the year, every day, get your vaccine, get your donuts. We got to stay healthy. Get the vaccine, get the double jab, and then get the free donuts every day for the rest of the year. How many days are left in the year? Over 300 days. 300 glazed donuts together with two jabs of all of the nightmarish chemicals and disease in the vaccine. Can you believe? You can't make this stuff up. You cannot make it up. This is the world in which we're living. The ignorance with respect to health and vitality, the ignorance on display. They've used it all as a pretext, a weapon, as I've said. But it doesn't even make sense. If you have a little bit of common sense, now again, this Krispy Kreme is not connected to the gov, it's not a government agency, but still, what does it say about our society? Free donuts, but only if you get the vaccine, and then you can load up on donuts. Listen to a little bit more from that same Reuters report, clip two.
Kelly Miller rushed to the store as soon as she heard the news.
If that's what it takes to get more people vaccinated, like if people are going to get vaccinated, I already was, but if people are going to get vaccinated to get a free donut, do it.
Customer Steve Hines says getting vaccinated is rewarding enough.
I mean, you know, that is the reward in staying alive. But the donut is just like a little pat on the back.
Right, the donut is just like a little pat on the back. It's a little nudge. Little nudge. You get the pressure, you get the public shaming coming from government officials, and then you get the nudge coming from Krispy Kreme. Everybody's on board. Get your donut and get the double jab. 300 glazed donuts a year. Conceivably, a donut every day because you were a good little boy. A good little girl, and you got your double jab. You go back to, well, just last year at this time, and we had quite a lot to say, didn't we, about those who are at risk of dying from coronavirus. Don't say China virus, because you might set off a mass killing. Those who are at risk, the ones that had diabetes, the ones that suffered from heart disease or had cancer, or the elderly, and in particular, the obese. We were telling you this last year. We were going through the physical health laws, the laws for radiant health. Here we are a year on from that. And there was this article, I think, just yesterday. This is from CBS. The American Psychological Association's Stress in America Pandemic Survey polled 3,000 adults in the U.S. and found that the majority, 61%, said they had experienced undesired weight changes. Well, that's going to continue. You have free glazed donuts together with the double jab. You think 2020 was bad? 61% undesired weight changes. 42% of U.S. adults said they gained more weight than they intended. And of those, the amount they reported, gaining averaged 29 pounds. 29 pounds in 12 months? That's like 3 pounds a month. And now, if you get the double jab, if you get the vaccine, well, you can add free glazed donuts to your diet. And then everyone gets healthy. We all get healthy together. Can you believe this? Last year, remember, we talked about the cure is killing us. The cure, it's worse than the disease. Here's part of the cure now. We're into 2021, and we've got to stamp out this disease. So shame on Miami for the parties there. But BLM in June, that's fine. Illegal immigrants by the tens of thousands, 5 to 10% perhaps coming in with COVID-19, tuberculosis, and other diseases. That's no problem. We got to have wide open borders. Give them a hotel room. Give them a free glazed donut. Give them whatever they need. says here, most women, well, 10% said they gained more than 50 pounds. CBS says weight gain that leads to obesity can put people at higher risk for serious illness from coronavirus. But hey, if you're Krispy Kreme, you got to make a living. You got to get people in for their donuts and coffee. More women, 45%, reported weight gain than men, but men reported higher average gain at 37 pounds compared to the women's average of 22 pounds. This is one of the results of the lockdown. Lock yourself inside. Don't get out. I mean, even exercise last year at this. I think today is the 1 year anniversary following Boris Johnson's announcement here in the UK. 1 year on from total lockdown. And I can remember it very well. Him saying, you know, look, you can only go outside for this, this, and this. If you want to go outside a little bit for a little bit of exercise, then you can do that. You can. Evidently, not a lot of people did. The statistics are the same, by the way. Or there's similar stories, I should say, coming out of the UK. 2020, what a doozy that year was. And it continues, the madness does. It says here, CBS, weight changes weren't the only issue reported in the survey. Many people also said they experienced unwanted changes in sleep patterns and increased alcohol consumption. 67% said they've been sleeping more or less than desired since the pandemic started. And 23% reported drinking more alcohol to cope with their stress. It's not funny. It really isn't. It's just the upside down world. It's so crazy. It's so crazy. Everything turned on its head. Fitch added that drinking more alcohol certainly contributes to high calorie intake. That being home more, eating more out of stress, and stress in and of itself is a known factor in weight gain and obesity. And those, by the way, are linked to COVID-19 deaths. You are more vulnerable to suffering from some serious complications of a COVID-19 type disease if you are unhealthy to begin with. So get your vaccine and get your donut and everything will be just fine. The University of Missouri, there's an article out of Missouri saying this is why, or it gets into why people are gaining weight. Most of this is common sense. It says 68% of those polled said that they were snacking more during lockdown. 54% said they were exercising less. And consequently, 54% said they had gained weight. Here's the BBC. It says a new King's College London and Ipsos Mori poll surveyed 2,250 people, 48% of respondents say they had put on weight during the lockdown, and the same percentage reported feeling more anxious or depressed than usual. I wonder if anyone's going to be shamed into avoiding the donut shop, like a lot of people are shamed into putting on the face mask, the cloth face mask that does nothing, And yet you get some of these self-righteous cashiers or attendants at an establishment somewhere insisting on a mask or a double mask, even as this nonsense goes on. The cure is killing us, as we wrote last May. Each day brought new and more heavy-handed restrictions and wilder interventions. Sports leagues suspended, flights grounded, schools closed, public gatherings dispersed, non-essential shopping banned, leaving home illegal, trillions of dollars spent. Government emergency plans were more draconian than perhaps any modern peacetime measures and more expensive than anything in history. It says, in many ways, it appears the ramifications of the reaction to the coronavirus will dwarf and far outlive the virus itself. And of course, this is where we are. Now you've got to get the vaccine. You've got to put the disease into your body. Even if you're in danger of suffering some pretty severe complications as a result, some cases of death even. That's now into the thousands. But you'd never know it. You'd never know it if you were switching on cable news. You'd never know it from the report from Reuters. Take your vaccine, get your double jab, and head over to Krispy Kreme. And you heard the people in that clip. I couldn't wait. Couldn't wait to get the free donut. I got the jab, but I'm here for the donuts. It says here, at some point, COVID-19 will go away, but the cure, quote unquote, will remain. And that, dear viewers, is where we are today. You're listening to Stephen Fleury, and this is the Trumpet Daily. If you'd like to submit some feedback, you can email us, td@kpcg.fm. Thank you for joining us on today's show. And we'll...